Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I'm hopeful, regardless of the outcome. Boost the positive energy without one. Sorry about the jab, I'm on a holy field. I'm bearing fruit, but demons try to eat them like Yoshi meal. I piss them off the Batman like Falcone deals. Jungle full of predators, I know how Mowgli feels. So I got the fire, refuse to live in fear. I can spot suppliers in a fresh room.
Oh yeah, welcome to episode 231 of the Permaculture Pimpcast, the only Pimpcast on planet Earth, where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. How you doing, honey?
Good. How are you?
Good. Back in the studio. All right. So, yeah. So if there's like two episodes, 231, you'll know the reasons why is because I intended for tag. Well, no, I mentioned
it. I'm going to renumber it.
Yeah, but I mentioned it in the last one. So people are, they might get a little bit confused. I thought that was going to go out tomorrow or last night, but it actually isn't. It's going to go out next week. But it as a one ghetto philosopher once said, it do what it do. So with that said,
it doesn't make any sense, Billy.
I know it doesn't make a lick of sense.
What you say when you have nothing else to say.
You got to talk into the mic,
things
honey.
Don't make any sense.
And your volume's turned down. There you go. You got to turn that up or turn me down. There we go. I think we're better now. This episode, as always, brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrowshomestead.com.
Turn that simp into a pimp.
Bam! Heaven's Harvest, 10% off with promo code PERMA. Also, hey, look, handle all your preparedness needs on your own, but look, there's stuff they have that you might need because we're definitely getting into that time where things are getting weird, and it's like they're getting weird. I mean, they've been weird, and it's only going to get worse. Remember, 10% off with promo code PERMA. And remember, if you want to tip a pimp, do it on the Fountain app. You can listen to all your podcasts over there, even triple up the speed. And if you want to drop a derivation of Bitcoin on a playa, yeah, you know exactly where to do it. You can drop a SAT on a PIMP. Now, what's that look for?
Nothing.
You got to, honey, you got to talk into the mic. I know we're in the same
room.
Put your your face in the wrong way.
I did.
Mm-mm. No, I don't think you are. You're not talking into the mic. Are you hearing? Are these headphones working on
my headphones? Don't work. No.
Yeah. So maybe that's not what you're. Okay. You're still not talking into the mic. You gotta actually talk.
I'm about to leave this room.
Aim this thing to your mouth. Okay. So we obviously got a technical glitch here where I think you probably ought to get a new set of headphones. Now I don't know what you're doing, but it's definitely messing up mine on this end. But look, hey, I'm a pro at this. I'm going to drive on. So it do what it do. All right. So check this out. All right. So we're going to get into the farm news. Wow, man, there's so much to cover. First of all, I mean, leaves are falling off the doggone trees everywhere. It's kind of cool outside. It's like fall has arrived early. So I don't know what to make of what's going on. Got this weird, crazy, overcasty kind of day. I don't know what to make of it. Yesterday was pretty nice, but it's like they spray it overnight. Are you hearing me okay?
Yeah.
Okay. In my headphones, it looks like, okay.
Well, so you might have to turn your headphones up.
No, it's volume. Not that. It's like it's a buzzing sound. Sorry about all the technical details, folks, but that's what happens when you do live radio. But anyway, man, I think they sprayed overnight and they had this weird overcasty kind of day. And I was reminding you when we were going to go, we had to go do a little bit of running around today. And it reminded me what I saw because I could barely see the mountains in the distance past Asheville. And And I told you what it reminded me of is when they were saying that the reason we had all this haze and mist and all this other stuff around here was because of the fires up in Canada. And meanwhile, I remember doing a program with William at the time, and I'm saying, hold on, somebody explain this to me. Because the prevailing winds for days and days, actually weeks, was coming from the southwest to the northeast.
But also explain to me
how that was coming down from Canada. That's what it looks like out there right now.
We've had more wildfires burning in the West and Canada this year. Like, they are out of money. They have no more resources to fight fires. How bad it is. But we have not had any of the wildfire smoke that we had last year.
Hold on. Wait, we're out of money for that, but we got plenty of money to supply bombs. Yeah.
No, they are out. There's this one account I follow that covers all the wildfires, and they're saying they're out. They are out of money.
They have no money allocated for that, but we got plenty of money to burn and murder people.
Yeah.
And do it at the behest of the American empire. And yes, folks, for all of you out there saying, oh, we're not an empire, got news for you, 900 military bases in 130 countries. That's called an empire. In fact, like none ever in history.
Yeah.
There's never been anything like it. So, yes, we are, in fact, an empire. But, yeah, you know, do you find it a little bit weird that, I mean, it was clear blue. I know, obviously, weather changes. I'm a farmer. I pay attention to these things. But it just looks very, very similar. And you and I have been, like low energy as of late, you know, right. Last couple of days. Well, and it makes no sense.
It's all week. We've been low energy.
Yeah. So, it's a little bit of that. And it just reminds me, like I said, how is it? Okay, Canada is north of us, last I checked, but somehow those wildfires are making it down here. But, you know, the prevailing winds are going from the southwest to the northeast. Explain that to me. And I'm like, this is just basic common sense stuff. But you're telling me no meteorologists out there can figure this out? It had been that way for weeks, but that's exactly what it looks like out there. But anyway, trees are falling off. Looks like we're going to have an early fall.
Leaves are falling.
Yeah, I mean, they're
not the trees.
What did I say?
You said the trees were falling off. Okay,
well, yeah, they didn't drop those kinds of chemtrails yet.
Yet.
Stay tuned. Stay tuned. All right, so, honey, we'd be remiss if we didn't at least. Okay, so the debate, if you want to call it that, happened the other day, right? Now, I agree with Jesse Ventura that politicians should basically wear on their jackets, they should have basically like NASCAR drivers. They should have all the people that really own them on their suit jackets and everything. And I think that's a great idea. You know, as we're, you basically said, hey, are we going to watch this? What did you say? Are we going to watch this clown show? And I said, you know what? We don't really watch TV. So, you know, we'll look at it as a form of entertainment.
It was at first, but then after a certain point, I can't laugh at it anymore because it's, first of all, Kamala has never been that
lucid
in like
ever?
Articulate in her life. Like I have listened to as much as I can stand of her. She got the questions and memorized the answers.
I was like, okay, so you and I basically bowed out about halfway through. When they took their intermission, we were basically cutting out. Does that mean anything on our little roadcaster up here, by the way? Yeah, we're having some weird technical things going. I don't know what it was. We had a power outage a little while ago. So, yeah, that broad has never been that lucid in her life. And I'm thinking, okay, man, there is no doubt in my mind. And then I'm like I'm watching it a little bit more and I'm like, okay, I'm no fan of Trump either, folks. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I know they are all working for the same interest. In fact, I'll prove it here in a minute. I'm sitting here watching this clown show and I'm thinking, okay, you got the two, if you want to call them moderators, they're basically
working for Kamala.
Yeah. I'm like, this is three against one. Okay. It's a joke. Her voice just...
I know. I can't stand.
The only voice that I find more agonizing is Maria Bartiromo. And it might not even be worse. They might be on equal territory.
I can stand to listen to her. I just want to punch somebody whenever I even see her face.
I know. It just comes off as so condescending. But look, I'm not in the camp of any one of them. I mean, lesser of two evils. I don't play that game. Yeah, I'll be writing in Dr. Shiva.
Dr. Shiva.
Yeah, that's who I'm going to write in. I don't agree with the guy on everything.
But he's not funded by Israel.
Well, thanks for breaking my punchline, honey, sorry. Because I was actually going to say the one thing if in that debate, if anybody was paying attention, the only thing they agreed on was Israel. So, yeah, thank you. Yeah, you jumped my punchline.
You got to tell me what you're going to do before you do it.
Well, anyway, that's if you stop and think about it, the one thing they agreed on, they disagreed on every single topic. And if you ever wonder who owns you, well, there you have it. If you ever wonder who you, I can't, it may have been Chaucer. I can't remember who said it, but you know, they said, if you ever wanted to find out who really owns you, find out who you can't criticize. And gee, both of them, hook, line, and sinker. The one thing they agreed on was Israel, but not one person out there, not one analyst pointed any of that out.
Yeah.
Not one. So folks, I mean, you could say, oh, you're anti-Semitic or whatever. No, 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 no. I'm an American. Okay. And I think it's total garbage that anybody serving in any office should have dual citizenship in any country. And how many of them have dual citizenship? I mean, you have one guy out of Florida showing up there in an IDF uniform.
Yes.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Gee, I didn't see anybody showing up in, I mean, it is so sick, and you can't even have this conversation. And, you know, we may lose half our audience, but honestly, I don't do this podcast because I care about what others. I mean, I'm not, the gloves are off. Look, we are losing our country and nobody cares. We got money to send bombs to Israel. We got money to send bombs to Ukraine, all of which are working in our interest, but we ain't got money to fight fires.
Yeah.
We got grandmas flipping coins out there. We ain't got money for them. We ain't got money for homeless veterans on the street. We don't have money for any of these things. About bridges falling down. We don't even talk about the bridge that collapsed because a boat ran into it.
Right.
We don't even talk about those things anymore, but we got billions and billions to send over here for Israel and Ukraine to basically murder a bunch of people.
To start World War III.
Which
to launch into Russia, yeah, even farther into Russia.
Yeah, well, there you go. I mean, folks, if you haven't heard it, and if you're listening to Fox News or MSNBC or the others, folks, you better get your house in order. They have just approved, well, they've quietly approved, basically, we're giving Ukraine missiles to reach Moscow.
Right.
Now, what do you think they're going to do? They're probably going to start with Europe. And folks, I hate to tell you this, but we are the bad guys in this.
Yeah. Iran sending missiles to Russia, and we're putting sanctions on Iran. And meanwhile, you have two clowns up on stage debating, and World War III is just getting closer and closer, and nobody's talking about it.
Not one of them touched a topic that was, I mean, for as long as we watched, that was even worthwhile. I mean, they're talking about eating dogs and everything else.
No, that's worthwhile. Yeah, what they're doing to our country is worthwhile. But like, you have residents in this town that are sending in videos, and she's up there saying that's not happening. Like what they're doing to this country is just it.
You know, the bottom line is, they actually showed video of a woman, a Haitian woman, got a duck. Duck's still alive, and she's marinating this sucker.
I thought that was a pigeon. She was marinating an orange. Yeah, she had an orange on. She was marinating a pigeon. But yeah, they're the ducks. They're cutting the heads off of ducks, and even the animals, like some people's pets.
Yeah, I don't. You know, at the end of the day, yeah, those are problems. But my goodness, man. I mean, they're over here literally trying to start World War III, folks. This is how it begins. And if you look at the work of people like Anthony Sutton and a number of others out there that have been absolutely erased out of the history books, you find out that the American Empire has been behind more stuff than you know. In fact, when the if any real history is ever written on what had happened under the, man, it pains me to say this as a former soldier, both of us. I mean, it really does. That when the history books are, if the honest history books are ever written, they're going to find out that America was the greatest force of evil in world history that we know of. And folks, if you think I'm crazy, if you think I'm lying about it, like I said, I really ought to take the time because I got the proof. I'm not just making this stuff up. The books are out there. Like I said, just look at the work of Anthony Sutton alone. Then you find out who really started World War One. You find out, and that was also, that was mostly the English right there, but it was also, we had a hand in it. You look at who started World War II, Alan Dulles, John Foster Dulles. They named an airport after this lunatic right there in D.C. The Dulles brothers alone, under the Treaty of Versailles, basically created World War II. It was meant to happen. All of your great grandfathers out there that fought in that thing and died. I got a great uncle who died on the beaches of Normandy. I mean, what could his life have been like had all of these people not died to fund? I mean, they literally funded the rise of the Third Reich. We did. And then after it was all said and done, I tend to think that we were all in on it together because after it was all said and done, oh, think I'm crazy? Look up Operation Paperclip. Who do they put in charge of NASA? If you even want to believe that thing's legit. Who do they put in charge of, I mean, good night, man. Every single thing that's coming down right now, folks, I hate to say it, but you're not on the good. In the fourth turning, the book written by Strauss and Howe, every 80 years you have what's called a saculum. Okay, I've gone through it before in this program. I'm not going to do it again, but basically we're at that fourth turning. And I got news for you. The good guys don't always win. The good guys haven't always won. And honestly, I'm seeing people still, despite the fact that they don't even have, you and I know of a person in particular, don't even have a roof over your head, but almost certainly planning the next vacation.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So here we are right now, the United States of Amnesia. But folks, yeah, you better get your house in order. Didn't mean to spend so much time on that, but man, it is, well, maybe I won't mean to spend so much time on the next topic, which is we are a day removed from 9/11.
Yeah, well, that's
when the terrorists bombed us.
Yeah.
We, I mean, man, I don't even know where to start with this. I mean, like everybody else that was around at that time, I know exactly where I was and what I was doing, and won't go into any of that. Any thinking person, and I can't even believe there are people I used to respect out there that are still believing the official story of 9/11. But I'll tell you one thing I do want to cover. You have these different camps that are fighting out there. Some people say, well, there were explosives put in the building. You know, that used to be my career once upon a time. I know how those things work, and I know how thermite works. Never used super nano thermite, which is supposedly what was used, but I have used thermite many, many times, many times. Even invented a few things. That's another story for another day. And then you got the other people say it was directed energy. Then you got other people that say it was nuclear, that there were small nuclear bombs that brought these things down. What gets me is the inability of so many researchers out there to realize that maybe they did all of the above to confuse everybody. So you could see I-beams in there burning at a 45 degree. You could even see the cut marks. Okay, that's actually that. Okay, that happened. But you don't have enough debris in a 110-story building. You should have 11 stories of debris. For every 10 stories, you should have one story of debris if you bring it down with explosives. There wasn't even enough debris to fill the lobby. But then you got these arguments within the research community. Why doesn't anybody ever say, hey, maybe they did all of the above, not the nuclear thing, but...
Or why isn't it, like, we don't have to agree on the details of exactly how it was done, but we can all agree that it's not the official story. The official story is absolutely garbage. Like, so, like, you, if you start from there, the point that we can all agree on, like, we don't have to agree on all the different details or all of the different theories of what may have happened.
No, I couldn't agree more. Okay, take just a couple of facets, for example. Like, okay, so you're going to tell me This banana-eating, bean-farting dude living in a cave that couldn't even fly a Cessna can do maneuvers that Top Gun pilots can't do.
Right.
They got planes flying at ground level that would tear the wings right off that sucker, and they can't even fly a Cessna, but there are look at pilots for 9/11 truth. Go out there and look at it yourself, folks. None of these pilots in a simulator could do any of the feats that were supposedly done that day.
Or steel buildings burning. Like, plenty of steel buildings have burned, but they haven't collapsed. And they've burned hotter for longer.
Yeah. And, you know, JP4 jet fuel cannot melt steel. Okay. If, you know, if anything, let's say this thing did happen the way they said, and then bam. Okay. So where the point where it was compromised, you would see deformations there, and this thing would slump over. And let's say it did create that damage. It wouldn't go down through the point of most resistance, which is right through the middle of the building. And worse yet, do it at free fall speed. Folks, I know what I'm talking about. I used to work in this area. I won't, like I said, I don't need Homeland Security kicking down the door. But honestly, I used to do this for a living back in my military days. It isn't going to fall through the point of most resistance. And better still, if it did, if you dropped a bowling ball, it wouldn't. I mean, good night. There is no resistance at all.
Right.
So you check out the work of Dr. Judy Wood man, I got a lot of homework for y'all out there. Check out the work of Dr. Judy Wood. She wrote a book, and we got it on the shelf down there. It's called Where Did the Towers Go? There's even some really good video out there. If you email me, folks, I'll send you some really good video information, because they've largely scrubbed her information off the internet.
Yeah, I remember trying to look for it one time, and there's a couple short videos, but they're not the long ones that used to be on.
There's a 45-minute called Irrefutable that basically condenses her research out there. It's pretty good, but then there's another one where she's on stage and in a 2.5-hour expose. She proves beyond all doubt. People are worried about nukes going off. Man, she proved in that video, beyond all doubt, and in the book, that they got stuff out there that nukes, if, you know, whatever they claim they actually are, that nukes are basically Tonka toys compared to the directed energy weapons that they've been using. They used them in Lahaina. They used them in California. They used them in Chile. They used them all over, and it's the same telltale signs. Folks, the information's out there, and I know this is, you know, permaculture preparedness and practical living, but I'm telling you all this stuff, folks, for all of you that went back into the matrix, and it always happens, and you're going to see it again. If Trump gets in, mark my words, most of the people in this homesteading, and like Danny from Deep South calls it, he said it, homesteading's a fad now, and he's right. You're going to see, and in the preparedness, I saw it before. Soon as a Republican got in office, bam, everybody goes right back into the matrix. Soon as a Democrat's in there, they come back out. You see this in and out thing, depending on who's in office, as if they don't all work for the same interests. And I'm talking about this right now because it's relevant. I talked in the last program about being out there in Kansas. If you listen to the YouTube thing I did with Tag the other day, we were talking about community and the importance of it. And honestly, I won't go into any details right now, but Michelle and I, Tag made us ask a lot of critical questions about the things we're doing and not doing right now. That's another program for another day. And honestly, I'm not sure how much I want to talk about regarding that, because there's always operational security that we need to look out for. But he did raise a lot of questions in our minds about what we do and don't need to do. I'm bringing up that idiotic debate last night. I'm bringing up 9/11 right now because it's like everybody forgot about it. The same government that brought you 9/11, and no, it was not some hijackers with box cutters that pulled this off. It was your government. It's not red state. It's not blue state. It's a state against you. And the reason I'm upset right now is that it's like there was a guy that said there is no amount of evidence that can shatter a faith consciously based on a lie. And it's like, no matter how many times they yank that football out from under us like Charlie Brown, we still believe these pathological and profligate liars, and it keeps happening over and over and over again. I mean, at what point, Michelle, do you think there is a point where anybody will finally say, hey, you know what, I'm going to stop believing? It's like,
I wish there was, but it's like people, Trump said he was going to do a whole lot of things when before he got in office for his first term, and he didn't do a lot of them, but people, he's doing the same thing. He's making all these promises. We'll see if he keeps them.
Yeah. Board of Education. Huh? They're still out there. Yeah.
Hillary Clinton. Pretty sure she's not locked up.
Yeah. None of that stuff. And if he gets back in, you're going to see, you know, what did the Who say? Old boss, same as the new boss, or mm-hmm. new boss, same as the old boss, however it goes. I mean, you're just seeing this stuff same over and over and over again. I got news for you, folks. Nobody's coming to save you except for Jesus. And you can find him right now. But folks, the thing that's agonizing and frustrating to me is that no matter what lie they emerge, I mean, COVID, like everybody else, when it first came out, I'm thinking, okay, is this thing legit? Isn't it? And then I'm looking at the people that are telling me. And I'm like, okay, I understand that a lot of people bought that. You thought it was legit. I get it. You haven't heard me yet on this show demonize anybody that may have taken that jab. And I've told you about some ways to mitigate it. And I told you about hopefully have people on the program that can help you get over it if you did take it and you're feeling symptoms. But I mean, good night, man. How many more, you know, if a bomb goes off tomorrow, they're going to blame Russia and America's going to be, you're going to have people lined up in front of the recruiting stations and they're going to be like, sign me up. You know, where do I go? Go ahead and take my life. And then if it's at the behest of Israel, I said it at the very beginning. It wasn't a popular statement, but I'm going to say it again. Do you know how many families out there that are going to brag about the fact that they lost their son or daughter at the behest of Israel?
Badly, yeah.
Do you know how many are going to do that? So, folks, I've said all this in this farm section to get you to wake up to realize what's really going on here, if you don't already know. I mean, we are in this asinine debate that happened the other day where they didn't talk about anything substantive. And here it is on the heels of 9/11, a day removed. And yes, I'm bringing it up because honestly, you had the great Jim Mars, who wrote the book Crossfire, about many, not all, but many people considered it to be the definitive work on the Kennedy assassination. And the thing that blew my mind, and I had a situation that was honestly similar to it. Jim Mars was, before he died, it was maybe a year or two before he died, he was asked in an interview about 9/11. And he sat there exasperated and just frankly appalled. And he said, the same assassination aficionados that can tell you everything that happened, November 22nd, 1963, in the Kennedy assassination, those same people will not take a second look at 9/11, even though there exists probably 50 to 100 times more evidence that it was an inside job than it was on the Kennedy assassination. I even knew a guy. He worked at the same radio station I did. In fact, he was like the biggest Kennedy assassination aficionado ever. And in fact, he works at a Dallas station right now, got himself a job out of Kansas City into a Dallas radio talk radio station because that's how much of a JFK aficionado that he was on the whole assassination. Literally got himself, you know the guy I'm talking about,
yeah,
right?
I know.
EB. I'll just use his initials. Anyway, try to get this dude to take a second look at 9/11. Knew everything there was to know about the Kennedy assassination. And couldn't take a second look at 9/11, which just happened.
I that's the part that I don't understand. I don't understand how you can see one event in history that is not the way they tell us it is. And then it doesn't open you up to, oh, let me look at this one. Oh, let me look at this one. And you just realize that everything they tell you is a lie.
Everything.
I don't know how that doesn't lead to like one story after another.
I don't know how you go down and you say, okay, well, this was a lie. Oh, the USS Liberty.
Right.
The most decorated ship in the history of American warfare. Huh. Nobody ever talks about that. Who bombed it? You want to tell everybody?
Yeah, Israel.
Bam. You never heard about that in the history books, did you? Yeah, and they scrubbed that from the history books, y'all. I mean, go all the way back to the Civil War, man. They lied about every single bit of it. Folks, you got to pull your head out of what we called in the airborne your fourth point of contact. your butt and see this stuff for what it is. I'm sorry to be so overt right now, but man, it's just making me sick that, like, how much evidence do you need? How much more do you need? They're about to pull the next one, the next false flag, the next pandemic, the next whatever, and have the people out there. It has served me extremely well, and you as well, to do the very opposite of what they tell us. It was like that Russian defector said, good night, I can never remember his name, but he said, you know what, in Russia, we had a media system that was every bit as corrupt as the one you have in America. The only difference is nobody in Russia believed him. Yeah, he was a Russian defector, and he was saying this back in the 80s. He was like, how do y'all not see this? How do you not see it? All right, I'm going to come down off the high horse a little bit because, I mean, honestly, it's getting realer and realer. I know those aren't words, but I'm making them words. It's getting real and real every single day. And you and I still know people that are planning their next vacation.
Yeah, and it's not our audience that I get frustrated with because I know they're wide awake. It's the other people out there that walk around like just in a daze.
You and I.
That's the people that I'm frustrated with, who are like, oh, is something going on in Ukraine and Russia? Like, I have a vacation to plan. I don't want to know about that.
I wasn't given liberty to give his name, but you and I were out there flipping a compost pile at Janet's place. And there was a guy out there. He didn't give me liberty to say his name, so I won't. And he was talking about how, you know, difficult it is for him to find a decent Christian girl. And he went to like a Christian dating site. And, you know, as he's getting to know these ladies a little bit, he's asking, you know, they're asking, well, you know, more detailed questions about one another. And the second they find out that he's all about preparedness, they say, well, you lack faith. Yeah.
And that's living in fear.
That's living in fear. Do you have a spare tire on your car?
Do you have insurance?
Yeah. But that's not living in fear. Okay. But having some food put back, they're basically telling this guy hit the bricks the second he says, yeah, you know, I see things going on here. And honestly, some of the worst people out there, some of the people that are most unwilling to see what is actually the worst and the people that should be the salt and light out there, are some of the people that are hardest to convince about the things that are going on. And we all have them in our families, y'all. I'm not being critical of the people in this audience. Like I said, to a certain extent, this show is cathartic. And I know a lot of you people are out there saying, yep, right on.
Yeah.
You know, at the Homesteaders United gathering, I sat there, I won't say who, but I sat at the table looking over the plans of a couple of friends that are basically looking at their place. They're in a remote place and they are Johnny on the spot. They know their stuff. And they're just getting, you know, another set of eyes to look on it. They're doing everything right. And, you know, but by and large, most people are just walking around like freaking zombies. Yeah. And I'm like, at what point do you wake up? Like you said before, what did you say about COVID? If you saw what went down on COVID.
If you lived through COVID and you don't feel the need to put something back just in case. I don't understand, but there's people that like their mindset is like, well, we got through COVID. That's over with. Let's go back to the way it was before COVID.
Back on vacation. All right. I'll go ahead and change the topic, y'all. Yeah, man. Well, I had a lot of other farm news I was going to get into. One of which being, you know, I'm eating way more salt. How about that? I'm eating way more salt. And so are you, right?
Yeah. I put some Redmond, a big old scoop of Redmond electrolytes in my water jug each morning before we go do chores.
Yeah, but ain't this the polar opposite? Going right back. Okay, so it's not just our political things. It's not just our preparedness. It's even our health. Everything I've been told about what I should do to stay healthy, I am now doing the polar opposite.
I remember my mom telling me when I was growing up, she's like, if you don't slow down on the salt, you are going to die of a heart attack before you're 18. Now, I wasn't using the right kind of salt, but I always heavily salted everything.
Yeah. And to this day, I guarantee your mom and mine too still believes the very same thing.
Don't put any salt on anything.
Don't put salt on anything, even though I'm finding out I feel so much better just by taking it. I'm doing the polar opposite of what they tell me, y'all. I'm honestly trying to think of a part of my life that is in accordance with what they tell me to do. Everything I do that is the polar opposite of what they tell me is flourishing.
Yeah.
Every single part of my life, even down to the health. And we'll cover more of that probably in a later episode. But yeah, like the same thing with fat.
Mm-hmm.
Don't eat fat.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yep. Don't eat fat. Don't eat too much meat. Do the polar opposite. And then the people that are telling you the most are the ones that are supposed to be experts on this. MD does not stand for medical deity. In fact, honestly, every MD I come across is a scoundrel until I find otherwise. Yeah. I honestly believe that because who at the end of the day was telling you to go out there and get your shots? Who out there was telling you this? No, it wasn't your Well, I don't know. I'm sure there was a couple of sleazy, salacious naturopaths out there. All right. So I'm going to get into, before I get into the good news, I want to tell you about, yeah, I guess we need some good news
We really need some good news.
Yeah. So we got some pig processing coming up, and that's good news. That's going to be October 25th and 26th. And then we got another class on the 15th and 16th of November. We'll leave a link. We also have a link at the website, and then it'll take you over to Sow the Land's website where you can sign up for that. Folks, we're getting down to brass tacks on a lot of this stuff. By the time, look, I know we're doing pigs here, but it applies to every single four-legged animal out there. And we're going to go into pretty good detail. And I think you're going to dig what you learn there. So it's always cool to do these intensive workshops and a team up with Jason and Lorraine because, man, they've done it so many times. They got it down to an absolute science. So, yeah, we're going to have that October 25th, 26th, November 15th and 16th. Also, at the same time, Kentucky Sustainable Living has their festival. Our son's going to be there. That's going to be October 26th and 27th. They're also going to have a charity dinner for Caleb House. Look, man, they know how to do it right there. They had an unexpected blow up of a lot of local people out there the last time out they had one. And I'm sure they're going to have it again. But folks, I know the folks up there, they are absolutely on point. They have a great lineup, great people. You're going to learn great stuff. If you're anywhere in the vicinity or want to just make a trip out there, man, believe me, you can't be around better people. I mean that. Excellent, excellent, everything around there. And plus, Bowling Green is a pretty cool place. Just don't be near the Corvette Museum when they have another sinkhole. So, yeah, I spent a lot of time up there. Yeah. So before I get into the good news, also remember Redemption Shield, where Michelle is supposed to have her feet right now, bare feet, but you got your socks on. Yeah, mine are wool.
I was doing work before.
Yeah.
I had to have some socks on.
Yep. So, hey, when you're around this electronic equipment, even if you aren't, y'all, you're being Kentucky Fried by your phone, your iPad, all those things. So I stay as grounded as I possibly can, y'all. I mean, as often as I possibly can. I even have grounding flip-flops now. I do. So go to Redemption Shield to get 10% off with discount code PERMA. All right. So we're going to get into the good news. And, you know, judging by how I do good news as of late, we'll just see if this is... Yeah, we're going to
I'm going to start getting actual good news stories.
You know how hard it is to find really, really good news stories?
I'm going to start finding some.
Yeah, help me out here because honestly...
They're all going to do with animals too.
Yeah, and a lot of them do. If you go out there looking for the good news stuff, it's almost like the last time when I was on with you, it was all about puppies and dogs and stuff. So I was like, okay, yeah, that's good news. But really, all right, so we're going to call this one good news. The WEF... or the WTF, if you, yeah, they admit the COVID test, dig this, was a test of public obedience to new globalist world order. Now, I'm calling that good news is because guess what? This stuff is leaking out. So check this out. The World Economic Forum, the WEF, has quietly revealed that the Wuhan coronavirus pandemic, and that's in quotes, was a test. And that's in quotes as well. Hatched by the globalists to see how compliant and obedient the public is to globalist tyranny. On the My Carbon page of its website, dig this, the WEF makes a pitch for a 15-minute smart city as a solution to the climate change. On that page, the WEF shows its hand about what COVID was really designed to do. And quote, COVID, and this is a quote from them, COVID-19 was a test of society's responsibility, unquote. They openly admit that. So basically, it was slave training, and I know a lot of people are not going to fall for the next one, but believe me, this next one that they will likely pull will almost certainly be legit. But hey, that's why you need to be checking out people like Dr. Lee Merritt, like Dr. Brian Artis, like there's a whole gang of them out there. Just check out, start with Brian Artis. Don't worry, you'll find your way to the rest of them. There's natural solutions to just about everything that's going on out there, y'all. But you're never going to hear it if you're watching Fox News or MSNBC. They're all prostitutes. Other good news stories. RFK Jr. calls American Academy of Pediatrics a criminal organization.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, how about that? Yeah, so they maintain partnerships with Coca-Cola. Are you kidding me? Coca-Cola and other junk food companies. I mean, this is absolutely astonishing that anybody would listen to them.
Yeah. And you take your child in to the doctor when they're sick, and the only thing they're focused on is, are they updated on their vaccines? Because we want to get them updated on their vaccines while they're sick.
How about that?
That's what they're focused on.
Yeah. That's why MDs can kiss my grits. I'm not playing any of this game. So here's your last good news story. And this one might actually be good news. Boosting your flexibility can help you live longer, study finds. Now, I don't know how they do these studies. I mean, how they do them over a long period of time. But honestly, it was really, if you get down to the nuts and bolts in this article, and this was done by the Scandinavian Journal of Medicine and Science and Sports. And they did it on basically 3,139 middle-aged participants, 2,000 women, about 2,000 men, about 1,000 women, from 45 to 65, and they were finding out and they tracked their health basically for 13 years. Man, it's crazy how they do this. But basically, the impact of flexibility, of being or making yourself, of stretching and all that kind of good stuff, it was notable. I mean, the numbers are all over the place, but you can tell that there was a marked increase on the people that did work on their flexibility. So, I mean, that gives you a little bit of maybe you ought to be doing a little bit of stretching out there. If you're opposed to yoga or anything like that, I mean, I've never done that stuff, but I'm just saying, you might want to at least get on the floor, do some of those old gym stretches from back in the day, man, or even just standing up just getting yourself mobile makes all the difference in the world, you know? Yeah. Right now I'm feeling a little bit tight because yesterday I did a little bit of deadlifting and it wasn't even that heavy, but man, now I'm 54 years old. My biological age after doing the tests and stuff was 51. So it was 51, but I'm like, okay, what do I have to do? And listening to Dr. Gabby Lyons and some of the others out
there. Gabrielle Lyon.
Yeah. That you can lower that number even more just by trying to get more muscle on you. Right. And you can do it, apparently. They tell you at a certain age you can't put on muscle. And she was saying, no, that is not true at all. Yeah. That you got, 80 and 85 and 90-year-olds out here putting on muscle and lowering their biological age when they tell you, oh, yeah, sit down, take it easy, whatever. When you look at it, there was a documentary that you and I watched on Netflix. And what did all those old timers, over 100 years old, what did they all have in common?
They were active.
Very active.
Yeah. They didn't just sit in their recliner and, wait to move on to the next life.
Yeah. But the thing that always blew my mind, even as a kid, when I was a kid growing up in Oklahoma, every morning you would see all these old timers sitting in the window at Brahms. Now, I know most people don't know what Brahms is out there, but it was like a staple growing up in Oklahoma. You saw this place, but believe me, we didn't have the money to eat there. So what me and the other kids in the neighborhood, what we'd do, we knew that they had those trays, we were just some arch criminals back then. They had these trays that they had out back, but they would put all of their baked goods that they didn't sell.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So before we caught the bus in the morning, we'd go out there, snatch up all them, it was different back then. It was like it was expired. But they would put them on these racks, and what they did with them, I don't know, but these racks were made out of aluminum. We'd basically take those sweet rolls, honey buns, whatever they had, we'd take them to school and go sell them after we ate them. Yeah. I mean, my mom and dad, we're like, man, we weren't even playing sports back then. We had these giant book bags. She's like, man, you guys, I mean,
your dad had to know you were up to no good.
Well, yeah, he was an arch criminal too. So, I mean, yeah, so we'd go there, we snatch up all these, but I remember going there every morning and all these old timers would be lined up in the windows. And I was like, man, is this what happens when you get old?
Yeah, you go sit at McDonald's and
drink or Brahms. Coffee. So yeah, anyway, that criminal enterprise, I mean, boy, we were making a killing. Of course, we were spending it all on pizza, just absolutely blowing it. But looking back at it, man, we were some entrepreneurs even back then. I mean, if we ever got in a drug game, boy, we would have been kingpins. But yeah, so that anyway, I told you they were made out of aluminum. So then we started going over there stealing the aluminum, realizing, man, why go out there and look for cans, man? Forget jumping in the dumpster stuff, man, because we were hustling. We would go over there, we'd take them and bust them up with a sledgehammer.
Oh, my goodness.
And so we would take in those aluminum, and that was, we did that when we got into high school. Yeah, so we were some arch, hey, man, hey, folks. Okay, sorry if your kids are listening right now.
Yeah, they've got cameras all over the place now. They won't get away with it.
Yeah, so, I mean, we got out of the honey bun business and into the aluminum business. And, yeah, we were making a killing. But I remember eating my weight. So whatever lunch money my dad gave us in the morning, I think back then, and believe me, he was counting them out. It was $1.05 to buy lunch at school. And believe me, there'd be a dollar and a nickel or pennies laying on that table. So, you know, I'd save that lunch money and do other things with it. But, I mean, getting Cokes out of the Coke machine, the whole nine yards. I mean, and we had an open campus back then.
Oh, we didn't.
Yeah.
There was nowhere to go anyway, even if it was.
Yeah. So we were just straight up arch criminals back then. But, you know, hey, don't stick your nose up there. I know there's a lot of ex-criminals out there as well. And like I said, these days, I don't know that kids have that same imagination. All right. With that, we're going to go to my man, Eric Sider.
Hey, Eric Sider here with your PimpCast tip of the day. Today's tip, native to planet Earth. I started reading a fascinating book called Where Do Camels Belong? It discusses the arbitrary nature of labeling things native or alien. What is the set time frame that makes something change from introduced or alien to native? A million years is a blink of an eye in geological time, but if a species that existed a million years ago showed up today in the same location, we would instantly call it an alien. So is the term native simply a human construct? Nature is always changing and evolving. It is not only pointless to try and return to a previous ecosystem, it is impossible because the conditions that allowed that particular assortment of species to converge no longer exists. There is a lot of fear around the language of aliens or invasiveness, fear of economic harm or ecosystem collapse. And like most fear-based rhetoric, it has little basis in reality. Almost every example of economic damage from an invasive species is exaggerated, and the only reason that species was successful in the first place was because of previous damage to the ecosystem. We blame the symptom, not the root cause. So where do camels belong? They originally developed in North America and migrated elsewhere, and then became extinct in North America. South America has the most diversity of camel relatives, and the Middle East is most associated with camels culturally. But Australia has the only wild population of camels that exist without human intervention. We are living in a global ecology. Nature is not sentimental about species, only that it performs a necessary function. You can find me on YouTube and Instagram at Eric Sider. And if you're in need of permaculture t-shirts or remote permaculture consultation and design, head over to ericsider.com.
That's my dog talking about these camels. Wasn't there one on a stage in a debate the other day? No, hang on. Yeah, I'm going to leave that one right there. No, it's funny Eric brings that up because John Kemp and Eric, if you're listening, check out the Regenerative Agriculture podcast. This dude might be one of the smartest dudes on the planet,
yeah,
bar none. Is. And he had made, not regarding camels, but regarding other species. For example, take this Chinese silvergrass that, you know, is the scourge of these mountains around here. Just like Eric said, why is it here? Why is it even able to express itself that everybody calls invasive, including me to a certain extent? Why? Because the ground, it can only thrive in awful places. What about multiflora rose? It can only thrive all these things that everybody hates, it's there because it's been abused.
Or yeah, because the conditions are present so that it can thrive. So if you change the conditions, then it won't be able to survive.
It's like so many other things out there. Or instead of saying we got a problem, we need to say, well, instead of that problem, we got a lack of whatever problem. Which, you know, okay, so maybe you want a pasture out there. Well, maybe the situation in your land doesn't allow you to do that. Maybe instead you want to go with an orchard. Maybe you need that ground covered so some of these things don't express themselves. I mean, there's, and it could be the opposite way as well. But yeah, I couldn't agree more. John Kemp talks so much about that, and he hates the whole notion of invasive. Eric, I think you would really, really enjoy his work. He's probably already listening to it anyway. But yeah, he was at the Stockman Grass Farmers Conference, and he spoke extensively about that, which is why when I went up to ask him about Chinese silvergrass, man, I was like, dude, this guy's going to eat my lunch, man, if I don't have my stuff together. So I asked him, you know, I didn't get a chance to ask while he was on stage, but I asked afterwards. A lot of people were trying to get his attention. And I said, you know, I told him about the silvergrass, how the government brought it in. And I said, the only thing that'll eat this stuff are water buffaloes. And I said, now, if you tell me that I got a lack of water buffalo problem and I don't have a silvergrass, and he just busted out laughing. This is a very cerebral guy. Mm-hmm. And I had him in stitches. And I'm like, okay, cool. He ain't going to eat my lunch on this. But yeah, I'll tell you what, he is the most sharp-dressed, honest dude I ever seen in my life. Hmm. Michelle, he was dressed like a real pimp.
A purple suit.
It was blue.
He had a purple suit.
He had a
blue suit.
If I'm not
like
mistaken,
a dark blue or like a bright blue.
No, I mean it wasn't like he's walking out of a Black Baptist church or nothing. I mean, he wasn't dressed like your typical Amish. I mean, they must have eased up.
I wonder if he's a variation of it, like
maybe kind of Mennonite
More Mennonite. I don't know. I've heard him say he is Amish.
Well, I'll tell you what, that day he was pimped out because he had this, like, you could tell it was a homemade suit. And it fit him perfectly. And when he put on his hat, I was thinking, man, this guy really does look like a pimp. He looks like an Amish pimp. I'm dead serious. I mean,
I've only seen Amish in like either black or very dark blue.
It was a blue, but like, yeah.
Especially the men. I don't see them in a big variety of.
Yeah. He is one of the most intelligent. He looked like an Amish version of Tom Woods. Tom Woods. Go check him out. Tom Woods. Both guys are the two most intelligent people I've ever stood in front of in my life.
Yeah. I've just heard Tom Woods. I don't know if that I've ever seen him.
You've been at a place. Yeah. I introduced him at a gathering, but you don't remember that. That was years ago. Yeah. 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 I actually introduced the guy at a gathering, but at a big, 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 big festival one time. But yeah. All right.
I don't think I was there for that.
I need to get him on the show, man. But honestly, yeah. I mean, he talks about the very same thing. So anyway, hat tip to Eric once again. And I think today marks the first time in a long time I'm not actually wearing one of Eric's shirts. It's one of the ones I got from, B gave it to me from Life Done Free. And what does it say, honey?
Tribulation training.
Bam. That's exactly what we're talking about here. And boy, right on the money too. All right. EMP Shield, y'all, $50 off with promo code PERMA. Things get stupid. Look, you're not going to the club. You're trying to get to the house. That's why you put an EMP shield on your vehicle. They even got them for your motorcycles, even your side-by-sides, you name it. But I'll tell you what you really ought to be concerned about more than anything is lightning strikes. And when you put this thing on your house, not only does it protect you from an EMP, multiple EMPs, by the way, this thing will handle a lightning strike. Now, when it does, if it does handle a lightning strike, it's spent. You got to send it back in, and they'll get you squared away with another one, I think, for a very low cost. But anyway, if it does get past it and get downstream of it, they're going to cover you for 25 Gs. Look, y'all, I've installed transient voltage surge suppressors. Say that 10 times all over this country. But I'm telling you what, there ain't even a close second to EMP Shield. That's why they didn't reach out to me, y'all. I reached out to them. All right. So we're going to get into the main topic, which we kind of missed last time. We almost did the same thing this time. You know, I let you go entirely too deep on 9/11 and the yeah. debate. And
yeah.
Look where you brought us, honey. Yeah. All you're doing,
all
huh?
My fault.
No, I want to talk about real quick the fall planting tasks, because we're at that point. Like I said, the leaves are falling. Weather's getting colder. It seems like fall's kind of had a jump on us. I'm still wondering where summer went, but look, this year I'm going to actually try, because I know a lot of farmers take off in the winter. We don't.
No.
We don't slow down not one bit.
No, it does not get cold enough here for us to take off in the winter.
But that's what Joel has often talked about, that people down south, that most of the great ideas generally come out of the north. Why? Because they took time off to...
Because they're snowed in.
Yeah. But I'm going to really try to put my best foot forward to do that very thing. Now, I'm always trying throughout the year, throughout every day, trying to educate myself in one way or another. Michelle does the same. I am really going to try this winter, and as best I can, try to slow down. And I don't know how to do it.
Well, part of it, I think the part where we do slow down is when it gets dark at 5:30. That is the part where we have a little more time to put into studying if we
But I don't. Can do I'm usually that. Working.
I know.
But I'm still working even when the sun goes down, and I'm going to try to use that as my barometer. And I've been trying to do that better as of late. When the sun goes down, then maybe it's time to kind of ease on out there. But when you manage as many things as we do, you can be your own worst enemy.
And a lot of things we save, like let's get all the outdoor work done and then we'll save the indoor work for 5:30 or whatever. So that's what we end up doing.
Yeah, but you wind up, you never really rest. You know, we take one day. There was a day we'd work 7 days a week, and then now we take off basically from Friday until Saturday. And then we make ourselves, and it's sometimes even active rest. But that's where the fall planning tasks, I got a list of things that I intend to do. I mean, notwithstanding the election violence that is almost certainly going to happen. Okay. Excuse me. Things are going to jump off. I'm shocked that they haven't. To some extent already, you got people out there that are saying, look, man, I do find it curious that all of the doom and gloom prognosticators out there, they were all saying that before now, this whole thing was going to jump off and it hasn't. So it's still a slow burn, but I'm not, look, if I was that concerned about it, I wouldn't have just taken a plane ride out to the middle of Kansas. I'm just going to drive on and I'll be where the good Lord will have me be. That's what I'm praying on, that I'm in the right place at the right time. But some of the things that we have planned is to try to redo our goals, because you can find yourself rudderless out there. And you and I have to a certain extent on certain things now in different topics. I mean, you and I intended, how long have we been wanting to put in a retaining wall?
Oh, yeah. For a couple years at least.
I mean, since we moved here on the front of the house, we've been wanting to put in a retaining wall.
Yeah, right.
We haven't done it because everything else keeps jumping in front of its way.
Right.
And I say yes to everything, which I'm going to start saying no a lot more. I have said no to a number of things, but, you know, things like that where there are projects that really need to get done here and they haven't been done for a whole variety of reasons. You let everything else get in its way, and then you find yourself like, oh, man, you know, how did I get to this position? Or how did things get so out of control? Or why is this area overgrown? So I'm going to really try, and I'm already making a list right now. This, not fall so much, but in the winter, I plan on doing a little bit of rest. I'm going to do a lot of reading, and I'm going to do a lot of growth. Personal growth and otherwise. Now, I know we do this all year long, but I'm going to try in every single category to improve, whether it's mental, whether it's my education, because that never stops. I mean, this, when I say permaculture is my passion, y'all, I love it. I have courses I haven't yet finished. I have some that I haven't yet started. I have a lot of things. I have a stack of books down there a mile high.
Yeah, and I'm finding, like, if you can get the books on audiobooks, I can get through them. I'm able to get through them. Like, I don't listen to as many podcasts as I used to, and I'm just trying to get a lot of the books through audiobooks, which I didn't know. I like to have the actual physical copy of it, but I just, a lot of times at night, I'm like my eyes are too tired. I'm too tired, especially in the summertime, to sit down and read a book. But if I can listen to an audiobook throughout the day, I'm able to keep learning.
I need to probably give that more of a shot than I have. I got one audiobook, and I'm afraid that by doing the audiobook, I won't remember it because I remember pretty much everything I read. I mean,
but you can go back and like I'm going through Nicole Masters' book right now. It's a soil book. And I don't know. I think I remember, I'm going to go through it a couple times, but there's some things because I can back it up and listen to it again. The parts that I really want to try to remember. I wonder if I remember more of them, more of the parts just by listening to it. I think it also depends on how you learn.
Well, yeah, that's definitely a big part of it too. It's like, for example, first audiobook I ever got was Rich Dad, Poor Dad, but I'd already read the book before. And as I'm going through the audiobook, I'm like, hold on, man, they left some stuff out. Because I remember pretty much, I know they give you the highlights and everything because I'm like, I remember pretty much everything I read. When I read it, it's pretty much mine, especially if I can put it to work. I'm not like William where I can tell you what page everything was on. I mean, remember when he was little, yeah. I mean, he could do that even as a 3-year-old. I mean, he could tell you where, oh, that was on page. I'd say, hey, where was the kid? I'd read him a book or something like, what page was the kid in brown pants on? He'd say page 7 or whatever. I mean, he could remember all that stuff. Mm-hmm. When I read a book, I usually, you know, it's mine. And I'm going through this audiobook, and now I'm afraid that if I do this audiobook thing, I'm like, okay, well, how much are they going to leave out? Am I even going to remember it? So I'm a little bit afraid about
there it. There is one book. I haven't noticed that with all of them, but there is one book that I noticed they left some things out of the actual book.
I guess it depends on the book, but I'm gonna give it the old college try.
But it's better. I mean, it's better than me not reading it. Like any information that I can get from the book is better than me it sitting on my bookshelf, which is what has happened with a lot of the books.
Yeah, I'm gonna make it. I'm going to get through that stack of books through this winter, and I'm probably gonna write one of my own. You know what that is? I'm not going to talk about what that book is going to be because there are people out there. I hate to say competitors in this space, but really just because they're homesteaders, y'all, and just because they may have a YouTube channel or even a very large following doesn't mean they're good people. I mean, they will hijack your ideas in a minute. So some of this stuff I got to kind of keep in the Skunk's Works department until it's ready. But I'm working on another book that should be something of a magnum opus for me. And it's in an area, I'm working on it with somebody else, and it's in an area that I can't believe this book hasn't been written. I cannot believe that this thing has not been written. And I don't know if I'll get through it in the winter because this is a pretty encompassing thing, and it should change the whole landscape of permaculture and preparedness. It really should. If I do this thing exactly the way I want, and it goes down exactly the way I want, and I'm bringing to bear all the skills I've acquired. And at the same time, I mean, through this fall and winter, I'm going to work on this book. I'm going to be working on a whole lot of other books that I read. And it is a nonstop. This is where I think a lot of people miss the boat on this. If this is your career, you want to make it your career, your continuing education never stops. I mean, ask Joel Salatin. He is a voracious reader. You know, I'm on the plane going out to Kansas, and I feel naked. You know why? Because I didn't have a book. I got my phone, and I started listening to an audiobook that I had that I had downloaded before. So I started listening to that, but I'm looking at the lady across from me, and she's every bit in her 60s. And I'm like, I'm looking at everybody else. They're either sleeping or on their phone. And I'm like, okay, man, there's something about turning the pages of a book that is so much more satisfying than looking at it on your phone. So I was doing that. But look, other things I plan on doing, I don't have, like they say, if you want something done, give it to a busy person.
Yeah.
Well, you and I have kind of batted around the idea of starting a new podcast, dealing with another topic altogether. I don't know that, like I talked about permaculture preparedness and practical living here. Okay, that seems like it's pretty well encompassing here. But talking about the paranormal on here, I know that there's an audience out there In fact, they tell me at these festivals, man, a lot of them say, man, that's what I enjoy most. And I'm like, okay, well, this is also a passion of mine, things I look into and I examine, and so do you. Well, why don't I do a podcast on that?
Yeah, and that's, it's funny because that's what I end up listening to. If I do listen to a podcast, a lot of times it's some of them, just to give myself a break, and to, I'll listen to a lot of paranormal podcasts. David Politis, his YouTube channel, I listen to that. I've got some of his books on Bigfoot. That, yeah, I want to finish that book this fall.
Yeah, you can watch all that creepy stuff you want, man, but I ain't listening to none of that stuff after dark. I mean, I'll listen to the confessionals. That one Ben Holler turned me on to, I can't remember.
Blurry Creatures.
I'll listen to some of these others. And I really enjoy the ones that have they hit it from a Christian angle. I really dig that, because so many people in the evangelical world would totally dismiss these stories.
I didn't used to listen. I remember when you used to listen to Coast to Coast, and I was like, whatever, that's a bunch of nonsense. I don't like, that's not even real. But it wasn't until, I don't know what started it. Tony at the Confessionals helped. That's where I heard L.A. Marzulli. I think it was probably L.A. Marzulli. Listening to him, it's when I started to like realize that this stuff is actually real. It's not just...
Well, that's where so many evangelical sources or institutions are really missing the boat. How many kids could you get on board if you were to expand on Genesis 6?
Right.
That alone. If you didn't just gloss over it. Yeah, the other stuff, I mean, honestly, your salvation is very important. But how much more interesting could you make it to the younger generation out there? Because honestly, these stories are far more fascinating.
Right.
Far more fascinating than anything Hollywood's ever come up with.
I think it's intentional, honestly. Or, I think it's done intentionally.
Why hasn't there been a movie about the life of Paul? Man, you talk about a swashbuckling. I mean, I'm serious, man. If you wanted a made-for-TV movie or miniseries, man, do one about Paul and Silas.
Mm-hmm.
Or... I mean, there's so many different ways you can go about this, but they gloss over this stuff. If you want to hook to all the kids out there, or like when I had Josh Monday on the program not long ago, okay, when you look at cosmology from his point of view, it makes, maybe these kids would think they were less of an accident out there,
yeah,
if they realized there was a construct to all this. Well, that's part of what I want to do, is start a new podcast where I know a lot of, you know, very credible and capable people in this space. But I'm thinking about doing it in another angle. And I don't want to say exactly what all that's going to entail, because frankly, it's still in the R&D department. But that's something else I'd like to do. New products. We got stuff that's sitting on the shelf that honestly, a lot of homesteaders out there, a lot of us, folks, I'm going to speak personally. Look, don't do what everybody else is doing. If somebody else sells a product, the worst idea in the world, and you saw it with the sourdough thing.
Yeah.
You see it with the apothecary thing. You see it with the soap thing. You see a lot of other homesteaders out there do what other homesteaders are doing because they think those are homesteady kind of projects. Well, I don't roll like that. We did bone sauce because it was a solution to my problem. We do comfrey because it's a solution to my problem. Rice knives, solution to my problems. Well, we got other products out there that overlay, that take in also my background as a sapper and also as a homesteader, as a farmer, as a permaculture designer. Think about those things that you use every single day in your life. Are you passionate about it? If so, can you make a business out of it? You know, I've talked about some of them in the past. And another thing I want to do also, and I know this sounds like over the fall, that's when I'm going to start it. I want to start learning a new language.
So what? Which language?
I'm still up in the air as it's kind of, you know, honestly, if I learned all the languages I found interesting, I would be a formidable polyglot by now. And I haven't done it. I started on Spanish a while ago. And sorry, y'all, I knocked something over. I had to pick it up. I started on Spanish a while ago. And I'm like, there are so many online sources. I mean, I've already paid for the course. Why am I not learning it? I mean, when I did it in high school, I had no interest in it. And honestly, it was the worst way to learn a language. So I'm thinking, okay, is it going to be Spanish? That's probably the most utility, you know, it's probably the one that's going to help me most. I'm thinking, okay, Spanish, that'd be one. Probably want to learn Italian. Definitely want to learn that. French, I mean, half the words in English are French anyway from origin.
Yeah.
That should be easy to learn. You know, I'm already a fan of language anyway, so it seems stupid for me not to do this stuff. So I'm like, okay, man, there are too many regrets I have in my life. And as a guy with a whole lot of sense once wrote, I will owe no debt to my destiny. Look, this sounds like a lot of stuff to do, but you know what? I don't watch TV. What I do for fun, I might watch a JFK assassination documentary or something, you know? These are the things I do for fun. And I think a lot of other folks out there would probably relate. I mean, because honestly, at the end of the day, the people I relate with most are always at these festivals. Can you relate? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not John Q, whatever, down on the street. And you know what? I know a lot of you people out there feel exactly the same way.
Yeah. It's always, when you go to these festivals, it's always like, there's never enough time to talk as much as you want to talk to a lot of the people.
Yeah. I mean, everybody there's no, like, if you start a new job, there's always a feeling out period with whomever you're working with. And you're always thinking, okay, are we going to mesh? Are we going to get along? Whatever the case may be. You already know at a lot of these festivals that you're automatically going to get along with these folks. You already have that in common, the fact that you are marginalized more than likely where you come from. So it's the same exact thing. So I know a lot of other people out there, like EJ and his wife, he's out there learning the Old Testament as well. I mean, he's out there. I mean, when I say learning, I'm saying he's going to memorize Psalms as well. You know, that's one of my goals as well. And I'm working on that. And I'm about to put foot to butt and get full steam ahead like I was before. It sounds like a lot of things out there, but these are the goals and the planning that I have for this fall. Like I said, this book I'm coming out with, it's difficult to write. Nobody's ever done it before. And it will literally change. I will basically create a unified field theory of permaculture and preparedness if done right. If done right. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. And I think it'll be done right.
Yeah. I'm just not going to be in a rush. I mean, my goal is to finish this thing before winter. And honestly, dealing with the subject matter that it's dealing with, I can't think of a book that's more pertinent to things that are going on in the world right now. And I am uniquely qualified to write this book. So I'm going to continue. I mean, just, you know, is there anything you want to add to this list? I mean, a lot of the business stuff that you and I planned. I mean,
yeah, a lot of the business stuff, like, you know, during the growing season, you're so busy trying to keep up that, yeah, a lot of the business stuff I would like to get ahead of and implement this fall and winter.
Yeah, there's a lot of great ideas we have that nobody else is doing that would be helpful.
Yeah, we just need time to get them done.
Yeah, good luck on that, because time has not been our friend as of late. All right, so with that said, we're going to go into the Q&A. We got one from Michael. Says, I was listening to one of your recent podcasts, Go Pimp Power, and I heard you mention three things that you plant around your trees. I thought two of them were thyme and rosemary. I forgot to write them down. Sorry, y'all. We got a dog out there. So basically, the other one was rosemary, thyme, and oregano. That's basically what we put around every tree. And remember, if you lose some of them, remember the ones that stick around. Those are the ones you want to propagate. He says he also has two Bradford pears in the front yard. He says a worthless breed if ever there was one. Not necessarily. My buddy Ben Holler is down there grafting these bad boys with real pears. So I've never done that. And I remember being at his place and I said, man, I wonder if you could graft those. He says, I already am. So Ben's out there doing it. So you might consider overgrafting those Bradford pears. I mean, boy, you talk about making a problem a solution. Let's see here. My computer's a little bit jacked up.
Well, while you're looking for that, I just want to address, we had a question last, I think it was the last podcast, asking us about composting graze-on hay. And I did some research, and it can be done. You have to have, just be prepared that it might take a little more time, but also make sure you have a high diversity of microbes, and just get as much diversity in your pile as possible in order to break down that graze-on.
You want to avoid it just to begin with.
Well, I mean, avoid it, but if at all possible, avoid it. But it's not impossible to compost it, to tie up that if you need to.
And that is the absolute worst case scenario, because you were saying at first with your research, yeah, you were saying that at first they couldn't figure it out.
Yeah, at first when these compounds first came out, they were really struggling to get the pile heated up, but eventually they got the right microbes, and the recommendation was like, just have a high diversity of microbes. And you could even look specifically what microbes will break down graze-on, because that might be something to look into also.
Yeah, but try to avoid it like the plague. I can't even believe we got to have this conversation. All right, got one from Eli. Man, it was really cool to meet him in person. Says, thank you. If I could cry, I would. The graciousness, humbleness, and wisdom that you called to farms and the Fit Farmer demonstrated was overwhelming in a good way at the Homesteaders Festival. I will gladly travel 3,000 miles for the next one. Mm. Yeah, he came all the way from California. Man, literally from the other coast. And it was a joy to meet him. But like so many out there, man, you just felt robbed that you didn't have enough time. Yeah. You just didn't have enough time out there. And then we got one from Jeremy. He says, question on natural dewormer for pigs. We have a couple of Berkshire pigs, and they're about 240 to 250 pounds. We're going to harvest around 300 pounds. We need to deworm to make sure these pigs are ready for harvest. What natural dewormers are best in accordance to your observation and practice? How long should we wait after deworming? Well, if you use natural dewormer, you can do it like no time at all. If you feel the need to do it, man, I am all year long, man, I'm giving pigs basically, you name it, garlic, diatomaceous earth. Pumpkin seeds is an absolute must. That will drag it right out of them. Charcoal.
Yeah.
And they will eat their weight in charcoal. Throw some charcoal out there and watch what happens.
Like,
not Kingsford.
Yeah.
Like homemade stuff, or biochar is even better.
Biochar.
Yeah. They will eat their absolute weight in that stuff. And of course their body will extract the minerals out of there. We basically are giving them that at all times. Apple cider vinegar, mm-hmm. You name it. Basically, we're making sweet and sour pork right on the hoof. And as far as a timeline, I can't give you that because I don't know. I'm basically doing it the whole time. Now, I wish I brought my other phone up here, because we had a question, a guy on Patreon that had basically talked about what he was doing, and he's basically doing everything I just talked about. If you can do it the whole time, I don't know that there necessarily needs to be a waiting period, but if you start right now and you're going to wait for them to get up to 300 pounds, don't quote me on that. I really don't know, because I'm doing it the entire time. So I don't necessarily have a good answer for you on that, but if it were me and my pigs were at 240 and I was going to wait till 300, I would just give it to them now, and then I would process when they hit 300. And those pumpkin seeds, man,
you could throw them whole pumpkins this time of year. Just give them like whole pumpkins. I mean, like cut them open, you know, and just make it available to them. They'll eat the pumpkin seeds out.
Yeah, that's all I did. Remember, I had all those pumpkins. I mean, we were getting them this time of year in the fall. And man, they were eating everything down to the freaking rind.
Like even oaks, if you've got them in a place where there's acorns on the ground, they've got a lot of tannins in them that will help that'll drive parasites out.
Yeah, they'll extract that. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because that's another thing. You want to be careful about using things like wormwood or anything like that. But honestly, I'm giving mine. I'm basically running the parasites out of them. Now, another key thing is to not leave them in a space too long. Generally, with the pigs, Joel Salatin uses his feeder as a barometer on when to move the pigs. I don't know what situation you have out there, but I don't have a feeder, so because I'm using, you know, organic food scraps and stuff like that. So I'm just using my grazer's eye to figure out, okay, once they've created enough disturbance, that's a really good way to make sure they avoid it too, because despite what everybody says, pigs actually are relatively clean. They will poop in one spot.
Yeah.
They don't just poop all over it. And I mean, they will avoid that spot like the plague. And then another thing is not coming back around to that same area for a year. So you give them time, you give a little bit of, you give those pigs some time, believe me, you'll be shocked at what they're able to do as far as cleaning it up. And also, like Michelle said, I'm glad you brought that up about the oaks, because that makes all the difference in the world. All right, y'all, I know we went a bit long again, but that's what happens when the homestead honey's in here and going on about 9/11 and everything else. Until next time, y'all stay alert.
Stay alive. You spitting that man a cotty, I'm talking saucy. All they wanna build is a prison world full of pet Tamagotchis. Like a kamikaze, got me out of body like I'm Goku SS3. They wanna push me to the center like a cell, they wanna split up at the center of the nexus. Me. They want me to bottle.